Sermon, Thoughts on 2 Peter 1, Loma Linda, California, November 2, 1907. 2 Peter 1, verse 1, 2. Here we see the sanctification of the Holy Spirit is through the knowledge of God. Therefore, His Word is our counselor, our teacher. Verses 3 to 10. What an assurance that is. Verse 11. Now we want to understand what our work is. Our work is that we have obtained a like precious faith. But we are not to stop there, but go on, step by step, to perfection. Verse 1. Now here is the great grace. It is placed within our reach, and it is for every one of us. It is that we can come and be embraced in this privilege and this promise. Verse 2. Through the knowledge of God. We must have a knowledge of God. We must read the Word. We must appropriate the Word to our own characters. We must talk like Christ. By beholding, we become changed into His image. By beholding Christ Jesus. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. Unto life and godliness. There is the whole spoken of, all things. Nothing is withheld from those that walk in obedience to the promise. But they shall have spiritual strength. Go on from strength to strength, increasing in strength continually. Verses 3, 4. What a privilege is this! What a work is before us! Having escaped. Well, how do we escape? Why, Christ in the heavenly courts laid aside His royal crown. He laid aside His royal robe. He clothed His divinity with humanity, that humanity, by taking hold of Christ in obedience, might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now this is our great privilege, and every one of us wants to be in that position, that we will never think that anything is a sacrifice that we can make in behalf of others, to bring them under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. We can be selfish. We can put all that we obtain upon our own bodies, or between our own lips, or in property. What will that avail us? We have got to leave it. In sickness, the first thing is, shall I recover? If not, many say, I am not ready. I am not ready to die. But you see that unreadiness will not prolong their life at all. What we want is while we have life and strength that we shall give our souls, our bodies, our very life to Jesus. The question was asked the lawyer by Christ in regard to what he should do to obtain eternal life. Well, the lawyer tells him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Christ said, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. And then the work was laid open before him of what he should do, love thy neighbor as thyself. Luke 10, verse 25 to 28. Now, that is a very big requirement. How many of us love our neighbor as we love ourselves? How many of us are in that position where we regard our neighbor as blood-bought by the sacrifice of the life of Jesus Christ, that we shall take the burden, if we have light in regard to the Word, of opening that Word to those that are in darkness? When Christ commenced His mission upon the earth after He had withstood the temptations in the wilderness, it was then that angels from heaven came to minister unto Him and gave Him food. He had not eaten for a long time. He had fasted. And now the angels saw Him faint under the strain. He resisted the enemy who was tempting Him to make bread out of the stones that were before Him. If thou be the Son of God. It might be possible that He was not. Then Christ said, Man shall not live by bread alone. Of God. Matthew 4, verse 3, 4. What is it? Read in the Bible. Do we study it? Do we try to find how we shall live to the glory of God? Now there is a work for every one of us to do to purify ourselves, our own hearts, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That is a large requirement. But if we are one with Christ and consider that He has bought these souls by the infinite price of His suffering, He might have brought a myriad of angels with Him to prepare the way and make it easy, but no. He chose a life of poverty and then bore that life of poverty. He was subject to His parents, and He worked with His parents side by side in the carpenter's trade. And He understood what poverty was. He knew what it was to be hungry. Why did He submit to all this? Because He was to stand as humanity stands, tempted in all points like as we are tempted, that He might know how to succor those that are tempted. So He walked from place to place, and they would be so glad to see him, they wanted more. No, said he. He had given them the message. Here there were those in different places all around, and he mentioned that he must go to these places to give them the message.
I have thought, as I have seen the members of the churches sitting and listening week after week to the gospel that is being preached to them, how many of them realize what that gospel cost to bring it to this people? Why? It cost the life of the Son of the infinite God, one that was equal with the Father. But he purchased this inheritance. For God so loved the world, everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. When we speak of everlasting life, can we grasp it? Can we take it in that Christ gave his life that we might have a life that measures with the life of God? Every human being that casts his helpless soul upon Jesus Christ and believes in his merits, that takes hold and appreciates him, will have that faith that works by love and purifies the soul. That is what they will have. Now we read 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Do we realize it? Do we understand? Is there in them an intensity to lay hold upon these precious things that are presented? That they shall know what to do for humanity in their sinfulness, to convict them of sin, to pray with them. That is why this sanitarium is here. The Lord opened before me that he had places that would come into our possession. Watch for them. Sanitariums in various places should be run in a manner to give character to the work that we are doing. There should be schools also in connection with the sanitarium. And these both should be an educating power to prepare workers in the sanitarium, that the sick might come and that they might be healed without drugs. Not poisoned, but healed without administering drugs. That is what the Lord wants that we should use. The simple remedies that we can use, especially in water, in exercise. And then that the sanitarium, small or large, should be situated out of the cities. Out of the cities, out of the cities, has been the light that has been given me for years. Out of the cities, in God's world. I have not seen anything in any sanitarium that was equal, in the outward adornings and privileges and benefits that we might have, to this sanitarium. And therefore, I leave home now and then to come and visit them to speak to the people. I have an intense interest that there should be a waking up in every church. Not merely those that believe just as we do, but facilities have been set in operation here and in other places that they should be educated, that they should be trained, that they should know the Bible benefits, that they should understand what they are to do in order that they might become efficient helpers in the work. That is why we want sanitarium and school together. And we want the assistance of all possible who shall help us in carrying out this purpose that we have in our minds and hearts to establish the sanitariums. And God will help us. I went to Europe, and there I traveled 3 times all over the countries, Italy, Norway, Switzerland, Sweden, and stood before them, not talking as I do to you, but through an interpreter. And yet I felt just as clear and fresh to bring these matters before them. And when I would tell them what they could do, they would come up when they had their general meeting. Now, said I to my interpreter, tell me every word they say. So he sat by my side, and he told me. We cannot do it, said they, as you do in America. It is an impossibility. They won't read our publications. Said I, you can. We have been over the ground, and we understand it. Brother Madison, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to do for this people? Well, what shall I do? Take a class of 25 or 30 young men. Educate and train them for the work, and when you get beyond your resources, we will send you means. But you must carry this through to where they will be educated and trained. Now, we have greater advantages here than they have there. It was almost a new subject to them, but they worked to the point, and now there is no complaint. Once they came into a stress. We are going to lose our buildings. Why, I called to our brethren in America, lay right hold, don't let the work of God be dishonored. Raise every farthing until you lift every debt that is there. And they did do it. There were thousands of dollars that they sent there to hold the buildings that they had. But they were going to lose it. I thank God that I had a part in that. Now they stand on vantage ground. They have had the royalties from my books for many years, and I allow them to use them to advance the work and to send the work in countries where they never have heard the message. We, every one of us, are amenable to God. Why? Because Christ gave His life for us. The Prince of Life gave His own precious life that we might become partakers of His divine nature and escape the corruptions that are in the world through lust. There is a work for every living soul to do if you want a life and works that you can carry on here in this life, so that you can see the precious souls that are coming to the knowledge of the truth through your labors. The next was Australia, and there I took up the load again. There we made the first path through 1,500 acres that we had purchased to establish a school and a sanitarium. Don't you think I prize a sanitarium that is prepared as this one was? There, by the hardest effort, we would plan and try and devise in order that we might establish meeting houses, that we might establish schoolhouses, that we might establish sanitariums, and we never left there until we had started that work, and there others could take it from our hands and carry it forward. Now I thank God that I had the privilege of acting a part. I would borrow money from the bank. I would do anything that we should not cease in the work. We must carry it, and we did carry it. They have one of the most wonderful schools. They are sending out all over the country their missionaries that are being educated in these schools, and I am so thankful that we did what we could. I said, "Let us go and stay 2 years in America, and then we will come back to you." Well, we have been here now 7 years, and there is no prospect of our going there. Here are fields everywhere. Now I advise everyone that has a hope of immortality and of glory. I advise every one of you that you shall make sacrifices. If Christ, the Prince of Life, could make sacrifices, what about you? Can you not be workers, laborers together, together with God? Cannot you deny yourselves of those things that you can, every penny, that you can advance in the work? Have the spirit of self-sacrifice. The blessing of God will be with everyone who will take hold of this matter intelligently, from the Bible standpoint. Verse 4. Diligence. Now you see there is a work before us. Everyone that connects himself by living faith with Jesus Christ, you are not left to be idlers. You have a work to do. Verse 5. Virtue. And virtue is character. Knowledge. We want knowledge. That is why we want a school. That is why we want a sanitarium. We are trying to fulfill the design of God, not be become wealthy. We just want to use the means that will bring the knowledge, to try to understand the lessons. Temperance. Supposing that all the cigars that were used, the money paid out for cigars, money paid out for liquor drinking, letting your influence go to make drunkards, supposing that we should use these benefits that we use to gratify the appetite that spoils the brain nerve power, that ruins the constitution. Suppose we ate temperately. Suppose that we rid ourselves of every habit and every practice that would use up the Lord's money. It is the Lord's means, and we are to use His revenue, His power, His property, His means to the conversion of the souls that are around us. Knowledge we must have. That is why we want not only a sanitarium, but we want a school. Both shall work together and blend together. Those in the school getting a medical education, as well as to study how to give treatment, and altogether blending as physicians, as doctors will give their help and aid to bring out these students in an advanced state of knowledge. And to temperance patience. Verse 6. Do you see how he does not put patience first? It is temperance first. You can't make an intemperate man patient. That is an impossibility. It is patience. Now if you want to be patient and not snapping with your words, you had better be temperate in eating, in drinking, in dressing, and save all that you can, and the very knowledge that you are doing this work will give you such a satisfaction, such a peace, you will not spoil your credit by snapping out your words as many do. No, we must be temperate. A drunkard cannot be patient, but if we can reform the drunkard, then we can do a grand work with his soul. We can bring him to understand what it means to be a Christian, what it means to have a pure and living purpose in God. To temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Verse 6. Yes, when you feel you are quick-tempered, somehow you will launch out your words before you realize it, in your house, often to your husband or your children. You cannot afford it. No, silence is eloquence. When you feel stirred in your mind, you just keep your lips shut until you can speak kindly and can be forbearing. It won't help the case any to talk in a manner that will irritate everybody around you. Let us put on the garment of patience, forbearance, kindness. To patience, godliness. Verse 6. There you see you are to be a Christian, and you are to exercise your Christian patience just according as you reverence God. Because you are the purchase of His blood, you cannot afford to spoil the nice gift of speech in reproaching, finding fault, and complaining. You have words that you must speak to educate. And to godliness, charity. Verse 7. That is love. And if these things, verse 8. Now you can see the advantage, verse 9. Afar off, cannot see the result of their course of action, and hath forgotten, verse 10. Now opens a work that you are to do. It means something to be a Christian. It means that the nerves and the lips and all parts of our being are to be sanctified to God and to His glory. Make your calling and election sure. For if, fall, verse 2. Now there is your assurance, verses 11, 12. Now this point, that an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now what does that mean? What can that mean? This is, my dear friends, our life insurance policy. This is that life insurance policy that we shall comply with the conditions and we secure for ourselves that life that measures with the life of God. Now shall we neglect to take up the work? We have none too much time. We are to advance step by step. We want everyone that can take an interest to try to help to circulate the truth and try to win souls to Christ. Our churches are not to sit down and fold their hands and listen day after day to the sermons that are preached and do nothing. You cannot afford it. We want a life insurance policy, just as it is given to us. Now what is it? Verses 2, 3. Now here is the most wonderful chapter. And I want you, when you go home, to take your Bibles and to read it. Try to take it in, pray over it, for here are the terms of eternal life. There is the very knowledge that you can take in by your experience, and by doing this, if you live in that manner, you shall never fall. This is the assurance to us. If we have a right hold from above, if we have a living faith that grasps the infinite power from our Savior, we shall be overcomers. That is our everlasting life insurance policy. And there are the treasures that you shall let loose of in order to be a blessing to help the institutions that are here, for we have had to work to bring this into existence. There is indebtedness here, and we want the help of everyone. Instead of wasting the means that God has given you, lay it up. Lay it up beside the throne of God. Lay not up for yourselves. Heaven. Matthew 6, verse 19, 20. Well, how are we to do it? By obedience. God help us to take hold of this work. We could talk a long time, but we do not want to. We want to throw out some ideas. We want you to study them, and to work them, to deny yourself, and to lay up beside the throne of God everything possible to bring souls to a knowledge of the truth, and then it will be returned to us in everlasting treasure in the kingdom of God.